All right, still two more chances to win Tigers tickets on the show today for the 8 o'clock hour. You're going to be listening for Dan Dickerson saying no with a bunch of O's. When you hear that, call in, pair of tickets to see the Tigers on Tuesday against the Rays. John, it's a Scooble start. Tickets still available, tigers.com. All right, couple ticket texts on college football. Texter says, John, I like your idea. Says he was a pretty good receiver in high school, Will Johnson. I think it'd be a great idea to try to get him involved offensively for a spark. It's the same idea if you're putting Orgy in for a spark. Will Johnson could bring a spark. That's from Jim in Grosse Pointe.
And at some point, you just need guys to go make plays. Just go be athletes. And we've seen it. We've certainly seen it at Michigan. It's not happened that often. We see it across college football. Defensive guys playing offense. You don't quite see an offensive guy, do spot duty on defense. No. But I think this is wide receiver is one of those positions where you can give him, you're not going to give him the entire playbook. You're not going to give him every single read. You make a couple of things easy and just say, hey, you know what? Do I think you're faster? Do I think you can catch? Do I think you can go make plays? He's done it on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So just go be an athlete.
Texter says USC will clean Michigan's clock, Tom in Lapeer. Look, I'm not going to rule that out. I mean, it's clear that Michigan
no
has
is.
Issues. But, John, I think Michigan hangs in this football game. I really do.
I appreciate that. I hope they do.
You don't see it that way.
Well, I mean, ideally, sure. Yeah, it's a ball control offense. And they just simply hold on to the ball and don't allow a very dynamic offense with playmakers, with multiple options for the quarterback to throw the ball. That's you keep the ball out of Miller Moss's hands, and maybe it's, hey, you go on a 6.5-minute drive and you get a touchdown. They get the ball back and they have the ability to basically go 45 seconds or less. We're racing down the field. Now, do I think they could do it against this defense? No, not that quickly, but they're a team that they want to build some momentum, some rhythm offensively, and then you get the ball back and just get another 7.5-minute drive, 14-play drive, and you get a field goal. You got to come away with points every single time, but it's about time of possession and converting on third downs offensively.
So Texas has the better O-line.
Yeah.
Texas quarterback is better.
Yeah.
The Texas brain trust had already gone on the road and beaten Alabama the previous season. So
sure.
This is USC hitting the road for the first time this season. They're going to the big house. They're going to Big Ten style of football. The knock on USC for years has been that defense is soft. They're not physical. They can be worn down. And that's why Michigan can go all in with a running quarterback this week and provide the blueprint to pick up a win here.
And physicality is not something I think you just turn on and off with a light switch.
Oh, we hired a new DC, so now we're physical. Be careful about that.
All of these guys have been around college football for a long time, and I mentioned it yesterday. You've got two guys that aren't seniors. You've got a redshirt sophomore that's playing safety in Kamari Ramsey, and then you've got an end, Anthony Lucas, who can be a game wrecker,
yep.
Who's a junior. Everybody else on that team on that starting defense is fourth or fifth year. So it's not like you just flip it on and say, you know what? Hey, we're going to the big house. We're going to the Big Ten. We're going to be physical.
Yeah, and I do think the other key is, so we mentioned Texas O-line much better than USC's O-line. Is this the spot where you see the D-line we've been hearing about for Michigan? Where we see them impact the game in a noticeable way, where they get to the quarterback, they're a game wrecker, TFL, tackle for loss, running backs are being stuffed, and it does turn into a lower scoring game, which plays into Michigan's ball possession, punish them in the red zone, Mullings, bulls over somebody. Like, that's the path for Michigan in this spot. And no, I'm not like telling you I somehow think that's going to catapult Michigan to a 10-win season. The problems are the problems. I just think we have this like maybe overinflated idea of USC, and maybe we've punched down on Michigan a little too much from the Texas game, because Texas looks to be like the number one team in America, maybe the national champion. Michigan can be not great, but still win this game.
I agree with that, what you just said. And I think that the unknown here is USC's offense and how good is it? Because one thing happened last weekend that could be a tell for this weekend, and it was how bad LSU's defense played at South Carolina. Well, we're propping up USC's offense and Miller Moss because of the way they looked against LSU. Now we've seen LSU get exposed even more against a middle-of-the-road SEC team. And then you combine that with the physicality, like you say, you just don't turn it on and turn it off. I mean, USC probably recognizes they're going to have to become a more physical football team to play in this conference.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to do that in their conference debut.
Listen, for as much as it says about Michigan, USC has a lot of questions they have to answer too this week.
Yeah, but this is a stop the bleeding moment for Michigan.
Yes.
Up until USC beat LSU, this wasn't looked at as one of the big games that Michigan was playing. Sure, it's a premier game because you have two iconic programs. You got two blue blood programs, but it was always Texas, Oregon, Ohio State. Now I see this as glad USC beat LSU because now it adds another opportunity for Michigan to get a win that you can point back to and say, that was a good win. A win over Fresno State, a win over Arkansas State, even a win over Illinois or Indiana or Northwestern teams on the schedule. You're never going to point to those and go, boy, that was a good win.
Think the offensive line shows up this week?
They have to. They got no other option.
Got you fired up, didn't I?
but that's the other. So that's the other side of this, John. I think you're right.
You guys know the hot buttons.
You dropped an F bomb before the show when we were talking about this.
Yes. Yes.
But John, isn't that revealing in the other way?
I think my tone said it for me.
Revealing in the other way. If they don't win this game, it's because they weren't able to dominate on the ground, because the offensive line hasn't progressed, because Michigan isn't the brand, the program that they were under Jim Harbaugh, and they're not going to sniff 9 wins. They might not get to 8 wins. This could be a 7-win football team. It could be revealing in that way.
Well, and it goes to that for the players on the field. It also goes to that for me in terms of offensive play calling. This is a premier game where you can control the tempo of the game, and it can be varied. You don't have to be a team that just, hey, we're going to huddle up. We're going to walk it down to the 13 seconds on the play clock. We're going to come to the line of scrimmage, and we're going to dominate at the line of scrimmage. That is the basis of the game plan, should be the basis of the game plan. But you can also, after two drives like that, hey, let's go a little tempo. All right, our quarterback is going to be one of the ones that's going to be running the ball. Let's line up. Let's keep that defense, who's now been on the field for 7 minutes and 6.5 minutes. Let's make sure that they can't substitute, and let's just get to the line of scrimmage, make a call, and let's go.
Lot to get to on this Football Friday. We've got picks coming up at 8:35. The first Costa Lock of the season will make an appearance. We'll have the cookie jar at 9:35 today.
Tough questions today, too.
And you thought so? Heather, you thought these were deep questions.
I like the ones that are like, this or that, and it's easy. This one, you have to think a little bit about these.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know.
There could be interesting answers.
Mm-hmm. I can mix in what's your favorite color if you'd like.
Blue. Go blue.
Stunner. Quickly on the
Tigers.
Come
on, Heather. I put that one on a tee for you.
Go green?
Yeah. Thank you.
Tigers. They keep finding their way into the show. Just a couple minutes on them right here, John. They didn't play yesterday, but as people have woke up this morning, they've realized, the Tigers occupy that final spot with Minnesota. Mm. Tied with win-loss record. They just need to be one game better than Minnesota the rest of the way. Minnesota is in a tailspin. They lost 3 of 4 to the Guardians. 3 of 4 by one run, 2 of them in extra innings. They are in a collapse.
Yeah.
And the Tigers are staring down the final 9 games, and I feel like 6-3 gets you in. I think 7-2's on the table. Detroit already took 2 of 3 against Baltimore. You feel like you can take 2 of 3 against the Rays, and you should sweep the White Sox to close the season.
And I posted a question this morning. With 9 games remaining, will the Tigers be in or out of the wild card, and why? And, I mean, there's so many varied answers. But here's one I thought was very interesting. On top of the Tigers playing great baseball, Minnesota is a train wreck currently. I trust Minnesota losing more games just as I trust the Tigers winning them.
Yep.
I think that's part of the equation. It's not just, hey, the Tigers need to win. We all know that. They just have to win one more than Minnesota. And people think Minnesota is, right now, not a team that's got a great trend going. They are losing ball games.
Well, that's why I say don't panic about the tiebreaker. Don't let it come down to it.
Yeah, and other ones, in because I said so, and in because of voodoo.
Voodoo. We have destiny.
This is what you've done.
The afternoon show has voodoo.
Yes.
It's witchcraft. It's miracles. It's whatever mystical cosmic energy this team has needed. They've harnessed it.
Yeah.
They have. Ticket Texter says, you guys had Benetti on the other day. He said there's no holes to fill with all these young guys. What do you guys think of that?
I disagree. I 100% disagree. I think there's still, what are you going to do at third base?
Jay Sean.
Okay.
Karate kicks. 12 pitch at bats.
Okay, you're talking about offense.
I know. John, you know I'm with
you. And can you please tell me, is there no room for another good bat? Can you have too many?
They need another bat, and they got to figure out their infield. And the whole key to this whole thing and what bat they add is Spencer Torkelson. And I have absolutely no idea what they should do with him next year.
Well, I don't think it would be silly to say he figured it out, because we saw what he did late last season and it didn't translate.
I don't expect this, but the big play that they would make is that Torkelson is not a regular next year. Keith goes to first, Young goes to second, and then third base is open again.
Well, there's some names out there. So Willy Adames is a shortstop. I don't think Trey Sweeney is
Max Clark
anchored player. Oh, stop it. Willy Adames would make sense to me, would upgrade this baseball team. Again, Christian Walker is a first baseman. He may hit the open market. That would be an upgrade. Like, Jason is right in that they are developing players, and that is so long overdue, but it can't be the only way for this baseball team to win. They aren't currently a World Series team. To act like there's no room to add bats, where would we put the bats? They're not a World Series team. You can always add more.
So this ride's going to end, and they can't win the World Series this year, is what you're saying?
Brian Baldinger is going to join us next, get his thoughts on all things NFL. We got the picks later in the hour. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to do the same for you as they did for me. They're going to sit down with you and find out how they can best build a plan that will fit your financial situation. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I guess let's go to Heather in the news. Heather, what's up?
All right. Well, a Detroit man is behind bars after allegedly shooting at his coworker during a road rage incident and then later stabbing him when they returned to work. So the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office said that the suspect and a coworker were leaving work in separate cars when the suspect fired multiple shots at the victim's car. We don't know why. We never got to the bottom of that. But then that same day, when both men returned back to work, the suspect allegedly attacked his coworker with a knife. This guy sustained severe lacerations, but has since been discharged from the hospital, so he's going to be okay. The man has been charged with 2 counts of assault with intent to murder, possession of a firearm by a prohibited person, and felony firearms. He faces life in prison if he is convicted. Mm. If you're a fan of Detroit's iconic Dutch Girl Donuts,
yeah,
got some great news. You're going to be happy to hear that the shop is honoring its past and bringing back a long-standing tradition. They're going to be open 24 hours a day. That means you can get your donut fix whenever the craving strikes,
right,
whether that's 6 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Maybe you're on the way into the studio.
Yes.
I feel like we lost a lot of these 24-hour businesses after the pandemic. I love it.
Everything. Or things closing really early. The other day I had to run to Kroger and I was like, oh my gosh, I looked at their website. I'm like, they close at 10? Like, this is...
Right.
And I got there at like 9:55 and the door technically was locked. Somebody saw me and let me in. So I was like,
so many of the fast food joints that you drive up and down the highway on a road trip and you're like, oh, okay, it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to stop in and get a shake and a fry.
Yep.
Closed.
It's disappointing. Your sweet dreams might soon be disrupted if you have a specific type of bed. So hundreds of thousands of beds are being recalled because there have been reports of them breaking or collapsing during use.
Oh, what kind of use?
Well, we're bouncing up and down a little bit.
It's called the Lucid Platform Bed. No, I'm glossing
just
over.
Going to,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
just
I am.
Ignore me. Yes.
With an upholstered square tufted headboard, and it was recalled on Thursday. They say that there has been reports, actually 245 incidents of this bed either sagging, breaking, or collapsing during use, and 18 related injuries.
Wow.
Yes. So these were sold all over. Amazon, Walmart being the biggest, but also could have been Bed Bath & Beyond, eBay, Home Depot, Macy's, Target.
So it's not the mattress. It's the bed.
It's the bed frame.
And the bed frame,
yes,
and the headboard. Yeah. Yeah. I guess don't tie the knots too tight.
Oh, God.
No, I'd get you on
really?
That one.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously. A Macomb County man thought that he got this alert from a Michigan lottery that would tell him he had won $5 or maybe $10 because he's been playing this Lotto 47 for a while. And he's won, you know, those small little prizes. So he got that email, thought, okay, probably $5. Well, he opened it and he won over $4.5 million. He says that it took him and his wife a while to actually wrap their heads around the fact that they were millionaires.
Yeah.
He did go and receive his prize. He took the one-time lump sum payout of $3.1 million, and he plans to donate to charities, take his family on vacation, and then save the remainder.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. There was a man who won a new car at the Oklahoma State Fair, and he won it by staying in the car for 3 days. He had to outlast other contestants. The thing was, is that there was a little bit of controversy. So the Oklahoma State Fair hosted this contest. It was called the Stinkin' Sentra. They were going to win this Nissan Sentra. That was the
right
car.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, four finalists had to sit in the car for days. The one
same
that,
car?
Yes, the one that remained the longest would win the car. And there wasn't really any major rules. They could leave the car every 3 hours for a bathroom break. Nothing could be taken out of the car, though. So they could get out, go to the bathroom, and go back to the car.
If you want to win, I would think that if you went to the bathroom in the car, it might force the other three out.
Well, one of the players did decide to pull, John, a disgusting stunt, and that's basically what happened. This guy went out for the bathroom break, but
didn't
he brought something back with him.
Oh, no. What did he bring?
A cup of poop.
No.
A cup of poop. Okay. All right.
And that
did he just sit in the cup holder?
And that basically forced everybody out.
Out of the car? I get it.
So he won, technically, but...
But at what cost?
Yeah. I guess there are no rules, so...
Yeah, I mean, if it's not against the rules, that's why I said, hey, just, you know, why leave?
Yeah. Didn't disqualify him, he won.
Okay.
Yeah, gross.
Gross. It's Heather with the news.
How bad do you want it?
Let's get to our Odyssey Insider, football with Brian Baldinger. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Good to hear your voice. Good to talk football with you.
Let's do it.
All right. So the Lions lost last week. You had kind of tipped us off. You said, hey, be careful of Tampa Bay. What did you see? What was the takeaway from that game?
A couple things. One, obviously it was a winnable game. You know, I mean, but I saw Jared Goff with 18 incompletions in that game. And a defense by Tampa, I mean, I've seen a secondary defend those receivers the way they did in that game by anybody so far this year. I mean, it was Zion McCollum. It was, you know, Christian Issien. I mean, these guys defended the passes. And so that was that. And then outside of a couple Jahmyr Gibbs runs, they did a good job of really plugging it. And that was with without Antoine Winfield Jr. I mean, Tampa won the game, but I thought that they defended Detroit's offense really well. I think we all feel pretty good about the talent level that Detroit has.
Well, what was surprising to me that the game plan seemed to be to throw the ball around the field, and it was 55 throws. That doesn't seem to be a recipe.
Yep.
How surprised were you to see, especially knowing going into the game, Kalijah Kancey wasn't going to be there, and at the end of the game, Vita Vea wasn't there?
No doubt. And so Kalijah hasn't played yet this year, but I was surprised just watching the game, studying it, like the amount of passes. I didn't really understand it. Like, look, they have a good defensive front. They're young, Yaya Diaby, some of these kids that people probably don't know about. But I would say that, and I think we all feel, like Detroit's got a top flight, if not the best offense line in football. Let those guys go to work. And I just felt like they got away from that real early in the game, and that was surprising. because that's not really what Dan Campbell is all about. And I would think this week, like, they would get back to that.
Our Friday football chats are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this season. Brian, let's look at Arizona and how dangerous is this matchup with Kyler Murray and company.
Well, Kyle was playing great football, and, you know, he got Marvin Harrison Jr. involved last week in a big way, especially in the first quarter where they, you know, they were able to jump all over the opponent. And so they played well, though. They could have easily beaten Buffalo in week one. They had two chances at the end of the game to go down and score. But one thing is that they have a good running game. They really do. And James Conner has been excellent. Kyler Murray, you have to account for him, whether it's scrambles or read options or quarterback-type runs. That has been going on since last year. I mean, they beat Philadelphia last year. They beat Pittsburgh. They beat Dallas. And they ran the ball really well in all those games, and they've done it so far this year. And then defensively, they're not super talented, but they have a good scheme. And they play super hard. Even last year when they were losing a lot of games, they were in every game. They Buda Baker, Kazir White. I mean, these guys play the game the right way. And so you're going to see kind of a mirror image of the effort that Detroit plays with. You're going to see that matched by Arizona. But I think offensively, the fact that they've got Marvin Harrison Jr. involved like they did last week, to go with McBride, to go with Connor, they have enough to be a formidable offensive opponent.
So what's the recipe for a Lions win? What do they have to do, let's just start offensively, to come away with the win?
Well, I mean, I think they have a 1-2 punch in Montgomery and Gibbs, and they got to get those guys going. Let Zeitler and Panay and, you know, Ragnar, let those guys go to work and let them start moving some bodies. They're not super talented up front. They play a diamond scheme, a bare front with the middle linebacker, Kazir White, right behind him. I think that's why they played last week. I think they'll play that. So I think there's, like, a lot of room on the edges to go run. You might not want to attack them right down the middle, although I wouldn't fear them. But I think there's a lot of room for their power game to work this weekend, to attack the edges on some, outside zone type plays and just stretching those guys out. I mean, I'd let my Detroit offensive line go to work and start wearing those guys down up front.
Music to our ears. Brian Baldinger, good stuff. We love checking in with you.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Are we missing anything? We all believe in the Lions this week. Bounce back spot. Ticket Texter says, I was a little surprised Heather didn't take the Cardinals because she likes short men. And Kyler is indeed short, Tom in Flat Rock.
Uh-huh. He's diminutive.
But are we?
But it is somebody that Colin can actually look down upon.
Oh. Really? Who is taller?
Oh, Colin.
Kyler's 5'10".
Oh, Colin's a little taller then.
Barely.
Yeah.
But.
And if we put Colin in football cleats, I'm sure it's even more significant.
I also do believe that is, that's the height of the program.
It's generous. Well, what was he at the combine? Because he can't fake that, right?
Well, you wouldn't think so, but.
Little platforms in the socks or something? Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe stand on his toes. Get the 5'10".
John, I think this comes down to
the hair, too.
Yeah, okay. We trust the Lions.
He's 6'1 with hair.
What did you send us, by the way? You texted us something with Kyler. People may have seen this on social media this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this dynamic duo, and it's
most dangerous duo in the league.
Yeah.
And it's Marvin Harrison Jr., who appears to be about 6'6 next to Kyler Murray, who you only see his eyes.
Is that really Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was like his son. No. I thought it was a joke.
It is a joke. Oh. No.
Yes. I thought it was just like a kid.
Yeah, it does look like Marvin Harrison's son. Yes, even though he's only 22.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know who you were showing me a photo of.
No, yes, that is that is the eyes and above of Kyler of Kyler Murray. Yeah,
it's just wrong.
Yeah,
it's just wrong.
Double D.
We trust the Lions. I think that's what it comes down to. They lost last week.
Mm-hmm.
They have not lost back-to-back games under Dan Campbell since. Before Halloween of 2022, 7-0 in season following a loss. And most of those games weren't close, John. Like, I could take you through some of them. They were ugly. They win by an average of 17 points per game. Last year, they lost to the Cowboys. Bounce back, win by 10 against the Vikings. They lost to the Bears. Bounce back against the Broncos in that Saturday night spot, won by 25 points. Lost to the Packers. Beat the Saints on the road by 5. Lost to the Ravens. Beat the Raiders on Monday night by 12. Lost to Seattle. Beat Atlanta by 2 touchdowns, 14 points. 6 of the 7 were double-digit wins. Bounce back for the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team. I think Dan does a really nice job of focusing on what went wrong personally, as well as with the team and playing on the field, and then tying a bow on it and putting that where it belongs in the past, and not forgetting about what you need to improve upon, but forgetting about the loss, using it maybe as some motivation, but then being able to turn the page and move forward and focus on the task at hand. Don't let a team beat you twice. It's always the old saying, right?
Yep.
And the Lions have been masterful at that ability. And we talk about short-term memory all the time in regards to, like, a DB gets beat or an offensive tackle gets beat. You've got to find a way to put that in the past and don't let a guy beat you twice on back-to-back plays because you're so worried about what happened on the last play. Oh, I got to fix this. I got to do that. Oh, he beat me. Everybody's going to see it. No, you move on.
And how much needs to really be fixed for this football team?
Red zone.
I know they lost, but yeah, it feels like it really is one thing only. It's the red zone, something they were elite at last year. Sam Laporta feels like the easy fix because he had 10 touchdowns, 8 of them in the red zone last year. If he is more involved this week, the Lions will have a bigger toy in the red zone to play with. Beyond that, I gave the stat play action pass. It's a huge advantage that Jared Goff has with that run game is he is lethal in the play action passing game. The Cardinals 31st against play action pass. So this isn't the Buccaneers defense, which has changed their game plan each of the last three meetings. This is a back to Detroit Lions football spot on the road. You're going to run it. You're going to play pass. You're going to get in the red zone. You're going to score. And I know the concern is, well, maybe the defense takes a step back. Kyler's dangerous mobile quarterback. I believe the pressures are going to turn to sacks. And I believe we've seen that through 2 weeks. Aiden Hutchinson gets another favorable matchup. Like, just everything checks the box for the Lions to take care of business this week.
And I 100% believe that they, quote-unquote, fixed the red zone because the opportunities were there. Whether it's a guy running a wrong route, because Dan talked about it with us. It's guys running a wrong route, wrong read.
Yeah.
It was a play that Ben Johnson wanted back. It was a missed block, which I think we can all sit there and I've been in that position before, too. And I'm not trying to throw Frank under the bus, but he is one of the best centers in the NFL, that I guarantee you when that tackle was made on the screen to Jahmyr Gibbs, he probably looked back, saw the tackle, saw who it was, and he was thinking to himself, damn it. I know. Before you even look at the screen, you see the replay, before you even know, you could see it in your mind. If he just simply turned inside, that could be a touch. It could have been the difference in the game. Like, there are so many different things. You get in the red zone 7 times. You're doing a lot of things right. You just got to finish when you get in there. And it doesn't matter to me. Yes, Sam Laporta should be a weapon in the red zone. They had plenty of opportunity even without going to Sam Laporta.
Regardless, you're right. Ticket texters, you guys are delusional. We asked what we were missing, so I guess we asked for this, John.
Yeah.
Guy says, you are delusional. Marv is going to torch that secondary. If you put 2 or 3 on him, McBride will torch them. Murray will run around that slow defense. Hans the Uber driver.
Oh, okay, Hans. Well, I mean, hey, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. How do they defend Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery? Brock Wright should be a weapon down in the red zone. Like, you have plenty of options. Like, don't act like Detroit doesn't have playmakers as well.
I think the Cardinals are every bit as dangerous as Tampa, but with a more dynamic quarterback. I think the Lions lose and lose bigger than we all think.
I guess we'll find out on Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern American time.
Thanks. Thanks for that. Costa Lock leads to Monday morning panic in Lionstown.
Yeah, I don't like the Costa Lock theory.
I will say this. It's been really good with Dan Campbell. It wasn't as good with previous Lions regimes. There's almost something to be said.
Nothing was good with previous Lions regimes.
But that's my point. Like, good coaching.
Right.
Good coaching matters. That's my whole point, is they're going to bounce back because Dan Campbell gets these guys off the mat following losses.
Yeah, and Dan went off the reservation with the problem at the end of the first half. Okay, I get that. And Ben Johnson, what was the conversation the last 2 years about Ben Johnson? Dynamic offensive coordinator. Oh, we're going to lose him to the Carolina Panthers. He takes his name out. Oh, we got him back one more year with Jared Goff. And then all of a sudden after last year, oh, we're going to lose him to the Commanders. We're going to lose him to someone else. He decides to pull his name out of the hat, and he's back. Everybody was ecstatic. Now all of a sudden, he's not the guy after one game.
Do you trust the Lions in this spot? Are we missing something? Is this a spot where they could lose your trust if they don't get it done in Arizona? 248-539-9797. Jeff in Garden City won the Tigers tickets for the 8 o'clock hour. Tigers tickets are still available, tigers.com. You have one more chance to win today on our show. We'll tell you about that next. It's 97.1.